want to be. So just follow along as we read a little bit. God bless you. The Bible says, yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for God, for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in the temples made with hands, as said the prophet. Heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will ye build me, said the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Had not my hand made all these things? Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Father, we pray that you add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Saints of God, we've been going through the book of Acts, amen, and we've been talking about Stephen's defense. And this Sunday, amen, we're going to cover the last installment of Stephen's defense, amen, and move on to something else. Glory to God. But while Stephen was defending himself, he began to run through a history of our people. And he talked about the patriarchs, amen, people like Abraham and Jacob, amen, Joseph. He was talking about Moses, and that's what we was on. And if you remember last time, he was reading, amen, God's people for making a golden calf. And we talked about idolatry. We talked about the different manifestations of idolatry. We can even have idolatry in the day in which we live in right now. We talked about graven images, statues, and whatnot. And we talked about how this sin really gets under the skin of God. It offends him to the utmost. If we had to look at it in the natural and the physical, idolatry in the spiritual to God is like adultery in the physical. Secondly, we saw because of idolatry, the Bible says God gave them up. And this is what God will do. When people resist him and don't want him and reject him, remember, God is a gentleman. He's not going to force himself on nobody. And so God is like, listen, if you want to do you, do you. If you don't want me, it's good. And so the Bible says that God gave them up. We turned to Romans 1 and saw the connection between idolatry and the reprobate mind and how God, hallelujah, actually gives people up to do what they want to do, gives them up to their sins. We want to continue because God giving them up is not the only judgment that God pours upon people who refuse him. Amen. And so this morning we'll talk a little bit more about that. We'll have 3 points this morning. I will carry you away is point number one. Point number two is the tabernacle of witness. And point number three is stiff-necked. Somebody say stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. Look at your neighbor. I'm just joking. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so let's look at our point number one. I will carry you away. Verse 43. Yea, ye took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Remphan, figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Stephen says, amen, after they participated in idolatry and God gave them up, that they took up the tabernacle of Moloch. The tabernacle of Moloch. A tabernacle is a shrine. It can not only mean like a house or a tent, it can also mean like a statue. Amen. And that's what it means in this particular case. Moloch, amen, as you can see on the screen right now, was one of the false gods of the Ammonites. Amen. And it was a statue that was made usually out of some stone or some metal, and it had hands. And normally what they would do is when people would have children, the god of Molech would offer them prosperity and riches if they would sacrifice their children to the god of Molech. And what people would do, they'd take their newborn babies and they would heat that statue up, that metal up on that statue until it's glowing. And they put their babies in the hands of that statue until they burnt up. And it was an offering, a sacrifice to the false god of Molech. Amen. And some people don't know, but people are still worshiping the god of Molech to this day. Amen. This is the Bohemian Grove. The next slide is the Bohemian Grove in California. Amen. And every year, the rich and the elite go to this particular place, the Bohemian Grove, and they do all kinds of immoral things, a whole bunch of fornication, adultery, homosexuality going on there. But not only that, at the end of it, they have this seance, this ceremony, with this big statue that looks like an owl, you know. But they call that statue Molech. And there's a fire at that statue as well. And there's some that say that they're still sacrificing children and people at those statues. In the picture, the elite are there. That's Ronald Reagan over there. And that's Richard Nixon over there. And before you get caught up, oh, yeah, all the Republicans go to Bohemian Grove. Don't worry about it. It's both the Republicans and the Democrats that's over there. Amen. Because they fuss on TV with us and get us riled up. But they meet at the Bohemian Grove. Amen. And worship their particular false deity. And so you can study that and check that out. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a real place. It's a real thing. And there's some real atrocious things going there. And so that's the God, the false God. Molech. The Bible says they not only worship Molech, but they worship the star of Remphan. Now, Remphan was an Egyptian god, amen, and most commentators say that it was a god of the stars, you know, and a particular star that it was a god, it was Saturn that they would worship, amen. Me and First Lady was talking about it, amen, and what you need to know is that all of our planetary system, you probably never thought about it, but all of our planetary system is named after false gods, every single one of them, amen. Whether you're looking at Mercury, amen, Venus, amen, Mars, amen, all of them, Jupiter, Saturn, you know what I'm saying? All of that, all those names, you never thought about it, but all those names are the names of Greek and Roman gods, amen. And that's just the way the devil plays games and try to burn God up. Amen. So we go there and we teach our kids about all these stars and we teach them the names of false gods. Amen. And I want to tell you that our planetary system itself, is my belief, is a complete fabrication. It's a complete lie because the Bible don't talk about planets. The Bible talk about stars. Amen. And hallelujah. And so you know, we'll talk about that probably at another date. Amen. But just to let you know, the devil is slick. Amen. So let's move on before we get too deep into this. You took up the tabernacle of Molech, the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Well, here we are. Listen, what we need to understand is that when people are participating in the sin of idolatry in any form, where they put something before God and they reject God, you need to understand that the first prong of judgment that God releases upon a people is when he gives them up. But giving them up is not the only thing that God will do, all right? Because after he give you up, right, and it's all kind of sin and debauchery going on, if you don't still turn to God, the next phase of judgment happens, amen, which is destruction and or removal, amen. Say that with me, destruction and or removal. Right? And that's the way God operates. That's the way God operates. We can see it clearly, amen, with the case of the Israelites in our history. All right? When we was doing the gods of Molech and Remphan, all right? God got tired of that. And God got us out of our land. God kicked us out of our land. And the first time he did it was with Nebuchadnezzar in around 600 BC. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar came through. destroyed Jerusalem, burnt down the temple that Solomon built, that he took all those years building, and it was beautiful with the cedar and the gold and the brazen sea and all that stuff like that. Man, listen, Nebuchadnezzar took all of that back to Babylon. Took it all back to Babylon. Why? Idolatry. You see? Rejecting God. Worshiping something else. And I'm here to tell you that God is about to do the same thing on the earth right now. Are you hearing me? Right now. All right? Listen, God don't change. No. Tell your neighbor, God don't change. All right? He doesn't. He doesn't change. And you need to understand, he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the same way God dealt with sin back then, he deals with sin today. Deals with sin today. And when we reject him, guess what he do? The same today. He'll reject and he'll say, go ahead on. Go ahead. All right? And what we've seen in the world today, Randy, we got the revelation last week. We've seen everything just go crazy. All kind of sin. We're like, God, you're not doing nothing. But what we learn is that the sin that we see is God actually doing something. He's released them. He's given them up. He's given them over. Amen. To a reprobate mind. He's given them over. That's judgment itself. All right? But if it continues and they still don't turn to God, guess what? And I'm speaking this prophetically. For America and for any other nation in the world, which would be most of them because they all follow in America, you see, it's going to be destruction and or removal. Are you with me here so far? Now, before I scare you too bad, just wait 1 second. God never destroys the righteous with the wicked. Woo! Just so that you could pay attention to the rest of the sermon, all right? I got to get this out. God does not destroy the righteous with the wicked. He's such a good God, such a loving Father, all right? There is not an example in our scripture where we see God just destroying everybody. Even when he flooded the whole earth, guess what, huh? He allowed for Noah and his family to get up out of that. When he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, who did he save? He saved Lot and Lot's family. Amen. Hallelujah. God never destroys the righteous with the wicked. Huh? Huh? And so as we see all the world go to hell in a handbasket, as we see them be on the brink of destruction, it should tell us, stay as close to God as we can. Amen. Stay as close to God as we can. Make sure the blood of the Lamb is over our doorpost when the death angel passes through. Anybody hear me up in here? Because trouble is coming. Trouble is coming. And Revelation says that God is so meticulous about his people, he'll put a seal on the heads of his people to make sure that the plagues of Egypt and everything that's coming through, Mike, don't touch his people. We just have to make sure that we want to hear. We just have to make sure that we're on the right side this morning. Amen? So listen, it's coming. Pastor, how do you know it's coming? Turn on the news. Turn on the news. You see, if you had to ask me, listen, we in between number 2 and number 3 right now, Daisha. We in between 2 and 3 right now. The destruction is coming. The giving up is there. All right? We probably at 2.7 right now. You hear me? Destruction and removal is about to go down. How do you know? It's already going down. Anybody saw the fires that's been burning in California? Anybody seen that? Huh? Well, Pastor, they always have a little fire. Not like this. Not like this. Anytime you start to see, they made a new word for it, a fire tornado. A fire tornado? I don't know. There's a fire tornado. You know what I'm saying? Firenado. You know what I'm saying? You know? And let me see. There's two fires in California right now that caught my attention. There's one called the Mendocino fire. It's burned almost 300,000 acres. You got to understand, we just want 14 acres over here. That thing done burned 300,000 acres. All right? And that's just one of the fires. There's many more. There's another fire out there called the Holy Fire. Huh? That don't sound like God trying to get some people's attention? Huh? If y'all don't get holy, I'm going to burn it down. I'm going to make it holy one way or the other. All right? You see, but what the fool can't see is, the fool can't see that's the hand of God. All right? I'm telling you, Sean Kendrick, they look at the fires out there and how it's burning homes and people die, and they look at it, oh, that's so sad, and they go back to doing what they was doing. All right? You gotta just stop and look at it. Once again, you know the face of the sky. You can discern the weather, but you don't know the signs of the times. Anybody hear me up in here? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But it's not just fire, you know, Cam. It's floods. It's floods. And I remember sometimes I'll be watching the news. It's fire on the West Coast and it's floods on the East Coast. It's not enough water on this side. It's too much water on that side. Huh? Can't win for losing. And when people can't, they never stop and say, God trying to tell us something. Huh? They can't. They don't do it. All right? I was looking at a flood that just had happened in, hallelujah, India. They picking people off the tops of houses, man. Fires and floods. Not only fires and floods, but earthquakes. Huh? There was an earthquake in Indonesia. You say, Pastor, what's going on with all that? Listen, you got to begin to look at where these things happening and correlate what type of sin and wrong they do in these areas. California is wild. It's wild. It's the most liberal place in the almost in the world besides Europe. Anything goes there. All right? And God not happy about that. You see? In places like India, a bunch of idolatry. Animal, cow worship, Hindu, all that. Indonesia, you can't bring a Bible out there. You can't bring the gospel out there. People will hurt you if you talk about Allah or Muhammad or something like that. Listen to me, man. God is getting to a point where he not playing with these people no more. God is about done had it, y'all. All right? All right? Fires, floods, earthquakes, wars, huh? Destruction and removal is coming. You got to hear me. Huh? You got to hear me. And some people say, Pastor, we've always had wars. Not like this. Not like this. When you study war and you study military action, we've had more wars in these past 100 and 120 years than any other time in human existence. They're fighting for everything now. And the problem with wars is right now, amen, hallelujah, that they're not just fighting a few men standing in the front yard somewhere. No, they got nuclear weapons. They got weapons that level cities, y'all. You know? And I'm telling you here, I'm telling you, it's about to go down. You see all that stuff they're playing with Turkey right there, Miss Michelle? They putting economic sanctions on Turkey. The lira is falling. The economy fall. They're playing with Turkey. A lot of people don't know what Turkey is. Turkey not just no little country, no. That's a former Ottoman Empire. That was an empire that used to run the world at one time. You can't play with these people, man. Listen to me. You got to watch these news, but don't just watch it on your way to the NBA, the NFL. Watch that thing and say, what is God doing in this right here? That's what you got to ask while you're watching and while you're listening. All right? Because God is on the move. And we at a point right now where destruction and removal is about to happen. Now, this is the one that got me. Watch this, Brother Sam. When you watch TV, amen, and you begin to see tons of fish just run up on the seashore and nobody could say why they did. You ever saw that on news? Sound Booth, help me out with this picture. Amen. Tons of fish on the seashore. Come on, Sound Booth. There we go. Hallelujah. Tons of fish. Hallelujah. And look, Tyrone, look. They go out. They say, oh, we can't go swim today. And they go back home. They pick up all the fish. Then they come out the next day and they swim. Nobody's saying, why? Why? People in whole neighborhoods done woke up, y'all, and not just fish, no, Brother Tony. They done woke up in birds all over the place. On the tops of their cars, on the streets and everything like that, birds dead. I'm talking about, look, thousands of them. Randy, could you imagine? You come up, can't walk to your car, birds everywhere. But listen, I'm telling you, Miss Carol, nobody look up and say, God, are you trying to tell us something? They dying. They dying, but nobody's saying why. Nobody's saying what. You see, back in the day, y'all, listen, the old folk used to saw something like that, everybody would have been to church every day that week. Church would have been packed. Everybody would have been repenting. Everybody would have been like, oh, God. But listen, it used to thunder loud and people be, oh, Jesus, forgive me, Lord. Nowadays, listen, fish running up. Tons of fish. It's happening all over Canada, Alaska, and America, all over. Nobody saying anything. You lucky if you see it on the news because they don't want to show you that. They don't want to show you the cataclysmic travesties that's happening. You see? They're trying to hide the bad news, that type of bad news. Because they know if they show y'all too much of what's going on, some people are going to get the wherewithal to say, God, we need you again. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. He said, I'm going to carry your weight. Keep praying with me. I'm going to carry your weight. Now listen, you think that the fish get your attention? The dead birds get your attention? This one right here? Oh, watch me, Deuce. Watch me. This one? You'll miss it if you don't watch close. This one right here? Oh, it shook me to the core. What, Pastor? Well, the bees are dying. The bees are dying. Well, yeah. Montgomery, when we was young, man, you know what I'm saying? I'm a little bit older than you, but when we was young, when we was young, we run up out there, amen, and you couldn't step on one of them white flowers without bees being all over the place. When we got brave, we'd be in the schoolyard trying to catch them by the wings, amen, chasing each other with them, you know? All right? Because bees was all over the place. That's how we were bad, you know, JW fucking, you know? But they was all over the place, man. You go outside now, you're lucky to see one or two of them. Pastor, what's going on? Listen, man, 40% of them things done died in America. And remember, when they tell you numbers, it's usually worse than what it is, but they just tell you something so you won't. All right? Pastor, what's the big deal about bees? Let me show you my next slide. Bees pollinate our food. Meaning that flowers and fruit and vegetation can't reproduce without them. They're not like men and women that reproduce themselves. Flowers can't move. They need somebody to bring one pollen to the next flower, and the bee does that. The bee, the bee jump on one flower and then he moves it another. And when he moves that flower, he brings articles from the last flower to this flower, amen, and it reproduces. Are you with me here so far? That's the reproduction cycle, amen, for plants. All right? Now what happens when nobody pollinates? You know? No bees. If you watch the news close, they done hide people and the little grape, what the wineries, they hire people. You know, Miss Leola? You should see them. They got some little dusters. And their job is to go from one plant to another. And I laugh at that. That's cute. But boy, you ain't doing nothing. How you going to pollinate a plant or a vegetation? But you see how creative God is? He said, these plants need to reproduce, and so we're going to have to get this pollen from one to the next. So what God do? He invent a bee. Oh, God. He invent a bee. And he got bees everywhere and beehives everywhere. And when it's springtime and they need to pollinate, guess what? The armies of bees come. You don't even know them. You don't even see them. But millions of them flying all around the world, pollinating, so our plants could reproduce so we can continue to eat. Woo! Some little workers, man. Some little workers. But we got a problem, Houston. They dying. And we don't know what's wrong with them. And nobody's stopping to say, God, what are you doing? And some people even saying, bees, whatever. Let me show you the next slide. No bees, no humans. Huh? Let me show you the next slide. Look what one bee told me. If we die, we taking you with us. You with me so far? Oh, yeah, we in the middle of it, y'all. Fish dying. Huh? Birds dying. Bees dying. Huh? And then we killing each other. Let me show you this next slide. This dude, Chris Watts, in the news we just saw, he killed his pregnant wife and his two daughters. Now, what that woman did to deserve to get murdered with her baby in her stomach? Man, let that woman go, man. All right? But the biggest thing is you're going to kill the woman. Why are you going to kill the two babies? Sambu, why? I never told you to move that back, Sambu. Why are you going to do that? See, but people see that, and they don't say, what's going on, God? You know what I'm here to tell you? That's a sign of the times. That's a sign of the times. All right? I'm not singling this man out because, let me tell you, that's just one situation. But stuff like that is happening all over America, all over the world, y'all. You know? We in the midst of point number two and point number three, God giving them up in destruction and removal. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Now, man, I was listening to this Harvard fellow on the radio, this economics dude, you know, economics. And he was talking some crazy stuff, you know, because they think they smart. You know what I'm saying? And that's how, when I was at UL, we travel around the country and we debate these boys, you know. And they think because we from the hood and we talk a little hood, you know what I'm saying? Like we don't have, like, logic, you know. Because you got to watch people because they just, you know, because they go to these schools and they use certain words, amen, they think they just smarter and they could tell you anything and you're going to believe it, all right? So I'm listening to this dude, man, on the radio, this Harvard dude, and this dude telling the audience, you know, that the world is getting better. This is what he said. Well, the world is getting better. We're progressing along. Humanity is just doing great. I want to call in, yeah, boy. But that's what I do. My wife will actually call, and I just talk noise from the rear. I'd be like, yeah, boy, for real. You know, but, man, I want to call in, yeah, but I didn't call in, you know. But I just want to let you know, be careful of that. Be careful of the lie of the devil. All right? Because what they'll do is the news will show you all the bad stuff, then they'll come back, well, this is normal. Everything is just, you know, we always have fires. There's always hurricanes. No, this is the worst fires. We're having the worst hurricanes. All right? The most people are dying. We're having the most wars and the most, you know what I'm saying? Everything is the most right now, man. You know? And it's consistent with the Bible because the Bible tells us, amen, that in the last days men going to wax worse and worse. And things going to get worse. And so when these bubble heads get up there and they start telling you, we're right where we're supposed to be. Don't worry about it. Everything is calm. Everything is controlled. What they want to do is they don't want you to see God judging. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? Tell your neighbor, don't believe the hype. All right? And let me read you something Jesus said in 21:10 of Luke. Jesus says this. He says, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation. Kingdom against kingdom. This is the last days. And Jesus can't be wrong. Jesus is saying there's going to be more and more nations against nations. It's more and more wars. It's just going to happen. Verse 11, and great earthquakes shall be in what? In diverse places. Places you never thought earthquakes would happen. They're not prepared for it. Amen. That's why they're going to happen. They're going to get worse and worse, stronger and stronger. He says famines. What's a famine? That's us being without food. Not us. Because listen, hallelujah, God's going to take care of his people. You know what I'm saying? He's going to take care of his people. It don't matter if he got a rain bread from heaven. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. That's what the Bible say, all right? And so he's going to take care of the righteous. We're talking about everybody else that's on the outside, all right? Famines, y'all. This bee problem, that's a big problem. Pestilence, that's diseases, huh? Fearful sights and great signs, these floods and these fires. Signs shall there be from heaven. Listen to me. God's about to shake the world up. He's about to shake it up because of their rejection of him, because of their idolatry. He's given them over. Then he's going to destroy and remove. It is important that you be on his side, that you be covered by the blood, that you be saved. You don't want to be caught outside. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Second point. The tabernacle of witness, the tabernacle of witness. We get this from verse 44. The Bible says, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. Once again, Stephen just going through our history. And Stephen is saying that our fathers, the elders of Israel, had the tabernacle of witness, all right? That tabernacle right here is the Mosaic tabernacle, which was the tent that God gave to Moses when Moses was in the mountain. He said, Moses, build this. You're going to have an outer court, an inner court, a holy place, a holy of holies. You'll have the ark up in there. You'll have the brazen altar, altar incense, the showbread. He gave him all the furnishings and everything. This was the place where they was going to meet God. This is the tabernacle of witness spoken of in this particular verse of scripture. Now, here it is. That word witness is important as well. That word witness in the Greek means a declaration of facts. It's when somebody come up, amen, and they stand witness to something or against something, right? Now, look at verse 43 for a second, Soundboom. Verse 43 says, you took up the tabernacle of Molech and the tabernacle of the god Ramphon. You chose that statue. You chose those gods. You chose that tabernacle. But look at 44. When you had the tabernacle of witness. Now watch this now. Watch this. Israel, while they was in the wilderness worshiping all these false gods, they had the Mosaic tabernacle. They had the Ark of the Covenant. They had the Holy of Holies. They had the holy place. They had that. And God is saying that that tabernacle was a witness. A witness to what? That God is real. A witness to what? That God was present with them. A witness to what? That God had showed himself, but they still and went run behind those false gods. That tabernacle was a witness. You see? This is important, yeah, y'all. This is important. Pastor, why? See, when you learn the character of God, you know when God pour out judgment on a people, he always going to give a warning. He always going to give a witness. He always going to give an opportunity. Anybody hear me up in here? He always, you see, that's the way he operates. All right? So, yeah, they had these false gods, but the real God tabernacle was right here. And he gave them a choice. And that's what God do all the time, yeah. God give everybody a choice. The Bible said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Bible say, I set before you life and death. Choose life. God tell you all the time, man, listen, you either for me or you're against me. It's nothing but choices. It's nothing but choices. That's what he's saying. He's giving you choices. And the reason he do that is this. So that when that day come and you stand before him, he wants you to be without excuse. Are you with me here so far? The Bible says in the last day in the book of Romans, Mr. Seymour, that when God bring people up and judge them, the Bible says every mouth will be stopped. Nobody going to be able to say nothing. You know when somebody tell you off and they read your mail and all you can do is and you walk away because you can't say nothing? Huh? That's what God going to do in an infinite way. He's going to show you everything that you did. Huh? Not you. You saved. He ain't going to show y'all. But the mother ones, he's going to show them everything they did. Huh? After he show them everything he did, he gonna show them the opportunities he gave them to choose him. He gonna show them every gospel message they heard. Today gonna be on the videotape. For some in here, for somebody in here, I pray not. God gonna show you even today. All them days you was in Philadelphia Christian Church, and my prophet was preaching the gospel to you. He told you that you was a sinner. He told you that you was on your way to hell unless you called upon the Savior. I put the choice before you, life and death. And the choice was yours, but you didn't choose me. You wanted to stay in what you was doing. You wanted to stay in them streets. You wanted to stay with the women, stay with the men. Hallelujah. That's what God do. Listen, in the wilderness, that's what he did. He put the tabernacle witness right here, but you had the false gods right there. Listen to me. I wonder who in here have a choice to make today. Huh? Maybe you're here and you're not saved. I'm telling you, right now, somebody invited you to church, you're here by chance. Right now, God is taking the opportunity to set before you two choices. Two choices. Heaven and hell, life or death, salvation or damnation. He's putting it before you. And the choice is yours. You know, God is so good, the Bible says that every creature gonna hear the gospel. That's how good God is. Every ear gonna hear him. Everyone. So that's when the judgment day comes. And listen, I don't know how he's gonna do it, but with the invent of internet and radio and TV and all that, I see him getting it all out. Listen, every person gonna have that choice before. You know? You gotta choose life. Come on, give God some glory, amen. In verse 45, look what it says, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. That word Jesus right there is supposed to be Joshua. Somebody say Joshua. It's supposed to be Joshua. All right. You say, how you know, Pastor? I'm going to show you here in a second. But the Greek word for Joshua is Jesus. All right? It's Jesus. All right? In fact, the original name, Joshua, is Yahshua. All right? Which happens to be the name, real name, of our Savior. Somebody say Yahshua. That's his name. And some people add letters to it, Yahshua, but it is Yahshua. All right? But when our Bible was translated into Greek, Yahshua was just translated into Jesus, all right? Or Jesus, which is Jesus, okay? It's not really a big deal because he answers to Yahshua. And guess what? He answers to Jesus, all right? If I took your name and just put it in a different language, it wouldn't mean no big deal, all right? All right? My name in the Middle East is spelled with a U. It's like Umar or Umar, all right? But it's still my name. Are you with me here so far? It's still my name. It still means the same thing. Speaker, friend of the prophet, amen. That's what my name means, all right? And so, hallelujah, it's just a translation. It's just a translation. Tell your neighbor, it's just a translation. But whether I call Yahshua or Jesus, he still answers. He still saves. How many people got saved in the name of Jesus? All right? He still saves. He still heals. How many people been sick and called on the name of Jesus? He still heals. All right? He still delivers. He still provides. Amen. So don't make a big deal. Don't miss the forest looking for the trees. Don't make a big deal out of it. It's just language here that we're talking about. All right. So that's that literary criticism is out the way. Now let me show you that it's Joshua, okay? Remember, Stephen is doing a dissertation about our people, but he's going in chronological order. He started with Abraham. He went to Jacob. He went down to Joseph. He went to Moses. Who's after Moses? Joshua. All right? He said Moses was given the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. And then the next verse is, which also our fathers. No. Back to 45. Yeah. Which our fathers that came after Moses brought in. They brought the tabernacle in with who? With Joshua. Where did Joshua go? Into the possession of the Gentiles. What does this mean? The promised land. The possession of the Gentiles was when, hallelujah, Joshua took the people to go into the promised land, into the Gentile land, the Ammonites, the Hittites, the termites, the parasites, all those ites. That was the possession of the Gentiles. The Gentiles had that land. Joshua took the Ark of the Covenant, the testimony of witness, that building. He had it back then, and he took it, and they went into the promised land with it. That's what that verse is saying. And what did he do? Whom God drave out before the face of our fathers. They got all of those Gentiles out so that Israel could have the promised land. And this Ark of the Covenant, this tabernacle testimony, was not only with Moses, not only with Joshua, but it stayed with our people. How long? Until the days of David. Remember David dancing in front of the ark? Huh? Remember that? That's how long the Ark of the Covenant, that's how long the tabernacle was with our people. All right? All right? Oh, we studied the Bible today, huh, y'all? Y'all up? All right? All right? Now it talks about David in the next verse, verse 46. David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of David. We studied this in Bible study on a Tuesday. David had become king. He living in his big house. He got his throne. And David look outside and he see the tabernacle. he see the Ark of the Covenant outside. And David is like, God, I feel bad. I'm living in this nice home, and your tabernacle, your covenant, your tent is on the outside. God, I want to build your house. And God was like, oh, shower, that's so cute. All right? That's so cute, baby, you know? But the problem is, God ain't never asked for no house. You got to be careful. You don't tell God what God wants. God tell us what he wants. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So he had to tell David no. And that's what he did. He told David no. David, you're not going to build me a house. Amen. Hallelujah. And Solomon built it. And that's what 47 says. Solomon built the house. But I want to tell you, amen, that when Solomon built that house, Israel was not better for it. Because they worshiped God better when they didn't have a house, a structure. Abraham worshiped him, and he didn't have a structure to go to. See, the problem with building God a house, John MacArthur says, amen, that the temple was supposed to be a symbol of God's presence and wind up being a prison of God's presence. Pastor, what'd that mean? The temple was supposed to be a symbol of God's presence but became a prison of God's presence. What does that mean? You see, if you affix God's presence to one place, you're going to think that God is only in that place. And you're going to think that you can only worship God in that place. You're going to think that you obey God only in that place. You're going to think you only pray to God only in that place. You see? And so the place become holy while you remain sinful. You remain doing your thing. Listen, man. Even though we come worship here, when you leave, it don't mean God don't follow you. All right? Listen, for some of y'all, I'm going to teach y'all a word. Say, omnipresent. Omnipresent. That means that God is all present. That means that he's everywhere. You know, you come in here and you be on your best behavior in here, but you jump in your car and you listen and you do all kind of stuff. God is as much in your car as he is in here. Are you with me here so far? So that's why God was like, I don't need no temple. That's what he's like, I don't need no house. What do you mean a temple? I don't need that. Verse 48, howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as said the prophet. Look what he says, 49, heaven is my throne, earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, God say? And what is the place of my rest? Could you imagine trying to build a house big enough for God? In 1 Kings 8:27, look what Solomon said, the one who built it, look, because he knew the foolishness of it. He said, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house that I have built. Are you with me so far? God bigger than this building. All right? All right? Even the next building we get, he going to be bigger than that. The whole 14 acres we get, he bigger than that. All right? And so that was the problem. That was the problem. Hallelujah. I have in my notes here, they trying to build God a temple, which they did, but all creation is God's temple. Ooh, the heaven and the earth. Now let me show you what all creation looked like. That's what it really looked like. Y'all put them globes and stuff in y'all classrooms. It don't look like that. It looked like that. That's what Genesis said. With a firmament on the top. A cover. A cover on the top. That's why the Bible say that he gonna open the windows. You can only have a window when something's solid. Oh, y'all don't want to hear that. Ooh, y'all don't want to hear that. Well, Pastor, they say they went to the moon and they went, they doing all that. You believe everything you hear? Check your Bible and see what your Bible, that's scriptures under that. Check what your Bible say about that. Let me move on. I ain't going to mess with you too much. So they went to build the Lord a house, you know? external worship. Point number three, stiff neck. Stiff neck. Here we go, point number three. So Stephen recounted our whole history, y'all. And while he was counting our whole history, look what he said. Joseph was sold into slavery. Moses was rejected. You had a tabernacle. You wanted to worship the tabernacle of Molech. He gave you a tabernacle in a tent, but you say, I want a building so I could build you a house. Stephen's pattern has been established. Every time God wants us to move left, we go right. And when God wants us to go up, we go down. Stephen right now is ready to make the connection, y'all. So he about to read them. He tell him, number one, he say, ye stiff neck. He calls them stiff neck, which means to be stubborn, y'all. If you could see it, imagine a mule or a donkey who got their neck stiff and can't go to the left or to the right, but only go straight. And no matter how you pull and how you tug, amen, that animal will not move with you. God is saying that that's our people. Stiff neck, stubborn. And I want to tell you, to this day, that's how them Hebrews are, yeah. Them Negroes, one of the most stubbornest people there is. Only do what they want to do. Now, if you don't know that, try to lead them in something. Try to lead them in something. And that's why I love delegation. I love to take people who never led anything in Philadelphia and give them an opportunity to do it, Mr. Seymour. I love that. I love that. How we doing the football and the basketball and the baseball? I love for people, hey, why don't you be the commissioner? Why don't you be the coach? Why don't you be the ministry head? Why don't you be over the 12? You know why I love that? Because they get a taste of what I go through every day. Woo! Oh, yeah. Because everybody your friend until you try to lead them somewhere. You hear me, Bluesy? I'm telling you, everybody your friend until you try to lead them somewhere. If the Lord anoints you or choose you to lead, you're going to see how stiff-necked they are. All right? Because look, while y'all on the same level, you could tell them anything. Hey, let's go here. Oh, sure. But you get a title on you. Where you over them like a boss or like, hey, let's go over here. You can't tell me what to do. Who made you a ruler and a chief over me? If you've ever been in leadership, you're going to know what I'm talking about. You see? Stiff neck. An inability to yield. Inability to submit. You see? And what he was saying was that our people would not submit to God's word, God's way, God's presence, God's law, God's leaders, God's prophets, anything that God was doing. Somebody say, stiff neck. That's what Stephen was telling them boys, man. And to this day, that's where we at. Number two, uncircumcised in heart. Uncircumcised in heart. Circumcision was something that the Israelites were very proud of because it separated them from the rest of the Gentiles. It made them feel special and different, all right? But in reality, they were no different than the Gentiles. Because they knew the law, they knew the things of God, but they was doing the same thing the Gentiles was doing. Worshiping the same idols, sleeping around, doing all this, doing all that. And so when God wanted to read them, God said, yeah, you might be circumcised on the outside. You might look like an Israelite on the outside, but he said on the inside, pop bump. Uncircumcised heart. What God was saying in the first point is you got a hard heart, stiff neck. That's what that means, hard heart. What he's saying in the second point right here, you got a dirty heart, an unclean heart, a heart that play better than people on the outside, but on the inside, you're doing the same dirt they're doing. You see? That's why Jesus took that woman caught in adultery. And he told them, boy, ye who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And the boys all had to drop their stones and leave. Why? Because on the outside, she had got caught and everybody knew. But on the inside, most of them was guilty of the same thing. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. Listen, uncircumcised hearts. Huh? They had Gentile hearts. Unclean, full of sin, full of lust, full of corruption. Right? And when your heart is hard, you can't hear God. When your heart is unclean, you can't hear God. Which leads to point number C. Always resist the Holy Ghost. And that's what God was saying about our people, Jay Greg. Always resist the Holy Ghost. Who's the Holy Ghost? Well, he's the third person of the Godhead. This is God's Spirit. All right? And God is saying, when my Holy Spirit moves, my people stay still. When my Holy Spirit moves, my people not only stay still, they push against. They resist the Holy Ghost. Meaning not to just say I'm not moving, Miss Bernadette, but to say I'm not only going to move, I'm going to go the opposite way. So God trying to bring an old covenant, they go the opposite way. They worship idols. God trying to bring a new covenant, they go the opposite way. I'm going to stay in the new, in the old covenant. Whenever God trying to do something, huh? They want to go the opposite way. Joseph was selected to be a savior in the Old Testament of Israel. What'd they do to Joseph? They sell him into slavery. Moses was selected to be the leader. What'd they do to Moses? They rat on Moses. Who made you a judge and ruler? Moses got to hide out in Midian. You see? The problem with the Hebrews has always been hard hearts, unclean hearts, and resisting the Holy Ghost. But that's not it. That's not it. And let me tell you why this is good. This is good because it's Repentance Sunday. And these are the things we need to repent of as a people. We need to go to God and say, God, our hearts have been hard as a people. We need to go to God and say, God, our hearts have been unclean as a people. And let me tell you the importance of that. You see, it don't matter to God how you look on the outside. No. God don't see it as men see it. God see the heart. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. We need to repent of that. We need to repent of resisting his Holy Ghost. Huh? I'm telling you. God come with the old covenant, we don't want that. He come with the new covenant, we still want the old covenant. What are y'all doing? You know? Look what he said. The next one. They persecute the prophets. In 52, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? Now that's a question. Stephen is saying, pick all the prophets. Go through them. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Amos, Habakkuk, Nahum, Micah, Malachi. He said, go through all of them. Moses, Noah, hey, God, go through all of them. He said, find me one that the Hebrews and persecute, resist, and sometimes even kill. You see? And I'm going to tell you right now. We need to repent of it because as a people, that's our ongoing problem, yeah. Oh, yeah. When God picks somebody to lead us or prophet or prophesy, tell us about ourselves, oh, we don't like them. We don't like them. I'm telling you, Mike, they got something that don't like me in here. My mother-in-law say, where they at? Lord, they. For what? For telling the truth. For just going through God's word, just telling the truth. Like this is what it is. You know? And as a people, we gotta change. Listen, when God sends somebody to tell us something, you don't shoot the messenger, man. You say, all right, God, I hear you, and you move on. You know? In verse 11 of Luke, chapter 11 of Luke, look what he says. He says, war unto you, for you build the sepulchres. Pastor, what's a sepulchre? A tombstone, a grave, a fancy grave. You build a sepulchre of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. He said, truly, you bear witness that ye allow the deeds of your fathers, that you and your fathers on one accord. How? For they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. You build their sepulchres. 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. Verse 50. That the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. Now, it's my personal opinion, y'all, that all the trauma that we have been through as a people, whether it was slavery, whether it was Jim Crow, segregation, KKK, lynching, hanging, all of that, even the trip here, the slave boat, all right? All of that was God's, hallelujah, payment for what we did to him, all right? You see, the blood of the prophets was on our hands, yo. And you have no idea how many people God sent to us when we was in our land to talk to us, and we kill them, stone them, beat them. You understand what I'm saying? And the funny thing about it is, the one that's saying that, Stephen, he about to be killed for telling them what thus said the Lord. They about to kill Stephen right here, man. We're going to look at it next week, but they about to kill Stephen for reading their mail, telling them the truth. And I believe that we are where we are right now as a people and all the trauma we're going through because God has given us what we gave him and what we gave his prophets. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. All right. We almost done. Let me tell you the worst thing that we did. All right. Look what Stephen said. Stephen said, hallelujah. Which the prophets in verse 52, he says, which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one. You see that J and that O is capital. That just one is Jesus. Of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers. The next thing that the Hebrews did, the Israelites did, Stephen said, you not only persecuted the prophets, you murdered the just one. You murdered the just one. Pastor, who the just one is? Yeshua Jesus. He came to his own, the Bible says, and his own received him not. And he came looking like us. The Bible says, hair like wool. Huh? Pass your hand through that. That's wool, baby. Feet like brass. You know what I'm saying? Montgomery, show them people your ankle. You see what I'm saying? Hair like wool. You see, together we could do it, me and you. Hair like wool, feet like brass. You see? Oh, yeah, he came to his own, looking like us and all that. But you know what we do when they put him up there? Give us Barabbas. We have no king but Caesar. We chose Caesar. We chose Rome. But let me tell you something. They got still some in our neighborhoods all over Lafayette still choosing Rome over Jesus to this day. Woo! Y'all don't want none of that. Listen, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Listen. Our people murdered the just one, the blood of Jesus, on our hands, baby. It's on our hand. That was our Messiah. And we the ones who did the deed. Well, yeah, we sold him out. Our high priest, Annas and Caiaphas, we did that deed. And so when we talk about repentance, guess what? We're going to repent of that great sin. Asking him to forgive us for that. You understand what I'm saying? But you say, Pastor, he worked good out of it. I know. What kind of good he worked? He saved the world through that cross. I know. But just because God worked good out of your wrong don't mean you was in wrong. All right? All right? David and Bathsheba had Solomon. That's a good thing. But it don't mean their act was right. Still need to be repented of. Still need to say, I am the man. I've sinned against the Lord. You see? And the next one is this. Received and rejected the law. Received and rejected the law. That's the last one. Verse 53. who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. Stephen is reading mail right here, bro. He's telling the nation, he's telling our nation everything we done did wrong. Everything. And he's saying, you got the Ten Commandments from angels. Angels come down and help the Most High deliver this to Moses. Burning bush, everything. You listen. But you're going to get the Ten Commandments in such a glorious way. And as soon as you get them, you disobey them. Make a golden calf. Give your children a Moloch. But the good news is this morning, as I close, that when God saw we couldn't keep the law, he decided to make a new deal with us. He decided to save us not by the Ten Commandments, not by the Mosaic law, not by the Levitical law, but he decided to save us by the blood of Jesus. Woo! Woo! The law demanded perfect obedience, which we could not give. So Jesus come down and Jesus said, Father, they can't obey the law. I'm going to obey the law for them. And he fulfilled the law. Every jot and every tittle, every I he dotted, every T he crossed. He said, I doth always obey my Father. And when he obeyed that, he died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, amen, the Bible said he bled, he died, he suffered, gave up the ghost to Leo. He rose on the third day. And he promised us that if we call upon him and believe in him, he's going to take all of our sins, put it on his cross, and take all his righteousness and impute it and put it upon us. Woo! Making it possible for the Bible to say, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But there's no way outside of Jesus to be saved. No. No way. No way. So listen, we're going to close up. But what we're going to do is we're going to have a little altar time. We're going to repent as a people for our sins. But also, you can come and repent for your individual sins today, your family sins today, your community sins today, your people's sins if you're from a different nationality than us, of a Gentile persuasion. But also, you can come and find Calvary's Hill and your sins to be forgiven. You can come and be saved at this altar as well. So if you're here and you want to pray with me and you feel led, you want to repent for the sins of the Hebrews or the sins of your people, you can come now to this altar. We're going to pray to our God. Ushers, if y'all can open up the gates, we're going to have a time of prayer. We're going to have a time of prayer, a time of repentance, and then we're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here. We're going to get out of here. Let's just repent before our God. You say, Pastor, why are we doing this? Listen, Hebrews all over the world are doing this today. Hebrews all over America. And God says, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land. And this is why we are here. We just want to tell them we're sorry. We're sorry. If you're here and you can repeat after me, we're going to pray down the indictment that Stephen had against us. Because everything Stephen said was right. But when Stephen tore our people off, we killed him too. Stoned him to death. We're going to see you in a second. But today, we're going to do something different. We're going to do what our father should have done. When Stephen read them, you know what they should have done? They should have said, we saw a ring. God, hear us. We're a little late, but we're going to do it today. Say with me now, Most High God, Yahweh, thank you for loving me. Thank you for creating me. Thank you for keeping me. I've come here today to say I'm sorry for everything I've done, my family, my people. Please forgive me. Forgive us, number one, for being stiff-necked, stubborn against you, God, hard-hearted. When you wanted us to move, we didn't, and we're so sorry. We came against Moses. We came against Joseph. Please forgive us. We apologize for the pride in our hearts. Oh God, help us to be soft-hearted. Help us to follow you, King, wherever you want us to go. Secondly, Lord, forgive us for uncircumcised hearts. We look good on the outside, but on the inside, our hearts were far from you. God, we're so sorry for religion. We're so sorry for tradition. We're so sorry for playing a church game while you were being real. Lord, help our hearts. Clean our hearts. Help us, King, to be real with you like you real with us. Touch our hearts. Thirdly, Lord, forgive us for resisting your spirit. Your sweet Holy Spirit. When people moved in your spirit, we said it was Beelzebub. We resisted your Holy Spirit. We apologize on behalf of our people. The Hebrews, past, present, and future. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us also for persecuting your prophets, your messengers, your pastors, your apostles, your men of God, your women of God. Forgive us, Lord, for talking about them, hating them, hurting them, stoning them, killing them, everything from now to our past that we've done to your prophets. We are sorry for harming Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Nahum, Habakkuk, Amos, Malachi, Zechariah. We're so sorry for harming John the Baptist, not believing even Stephen. Forgive us, Lord. Take their blood off our hands. Forgive us, Lord. Most of all, we are sorry for betraying our Messiah. Yeshua, Jesus, the lion of the tribe of Judah. The bright and morning star. God, we sold him out. Hand him over to the Romans. He was crucified. And we chose Barabbas instead of him. God, we repent. And we are sorry for missing the move of God through our Messiah. But we are back now. And we declare that he is our King. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And we love him. And we will serve him for the rest of our days. Lastly, Lord, forgive us for breaking your law, all the Ten Commandments, all of your Levitical law. We've fallen short of your glory. But we thank you for the blood of Jesus and the new covenant that washes away all of our sins. We admit we are wrong. But we believe that Jesus died for us. We believe that he was buried in a grave. And we believe that he rose on the third day. Lord, save us. Lord, keep us. Lord, use us. Open the heavens. Restore us. Open the heavens. Reunite us. Open the heavens. Revive us. Make the dry bones live again. Stand us up. Make us an army. We are ready now. Release the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Restore our prophets, our priests, and our kings. We are ready. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Come on, give him glory, saints. Come on, give him glory, Zion. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Yes. In the Bible, when one man repented when they was caught in Babylon, Daniel told God he was sorry. Daniel told God he was sorry on behalf of a whole nation, and God heard that one man. Here we are, hundreds of us in here. Hundreds of us. And with first service, over 1,000 of us. We all came, and we all, like Daniel said, we were sorry and we was ready. Since God is not a respecter of persons, he heard Daniel. And he heard you this morning. He heard us this morning. He heard us this morning. One word for you. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Restore them. Reunion. And blessings. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Old things made new again. Old things made new again. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You think you was blessed before? You ain't seen nothing yet. 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 Tell somebody it's all coming back. It's all coming back. It's all coming back. Oh, shout. Hallelujah. All right, all right, all right. It's all coming back. May he bless you. keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, and bless you with shalom peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Love y'all, Philly. Be blessed. Be blessed.
Glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs.